Welcome back to the Spodcasters. I'm Andy Sam from KUSports.com, joined again with Tom Keegan, the Journal World Sports Editor, and Six News Sports Director Kevin Romery. Guys, another loss. Is it time for Jayhawk Nation to panic?
It's getting ugly, isn't it?
It's getting real ugly. Can only get better from here, though. That's the good news. The bad news is that Sagarin Computer Ratings, which take into consideration the strength of schedule and all the outcomes of all your games, right now, according to Sagarin, and it is early in the season, and those things can be distorted, but right now, KU is the third best program in the state of Kansas, according to these rankings. You've got Wichita State, which is 25th, according to Sagarin.
Oh, the tall man over here. Look at Andy Stamp bumping his chest.
And then you got K-State at 61 and Kansas at 71. Of course, it's not played on papers. It's not played by computers. It's played by bodies. And I believe that KU has the best bodies of those three teams and the best coach of those three. So at the end of the year, they'll be ahead of these two, but that is a little bit alarming.
Yeah, any computer ranking that puts K-State ahead of KU, it's a little early for those, obviously. I'll respect K-State when it beats KU for the first time since 94. Yeah. I think Anthony Bean was on the last team
in the fieldhouse
that knocked off KU at the fieldhouse by a point or two. And I think KU was ranked number one, maybe, even at the time. Man, that was a long time ago.
Well, Nebraska did lose to KU in football this year, so anything's happened. Anything's possible.
It's the streak-ending time of the season, right?
I don't believe it, though.
You were at the game.
Yes, I
was. What was the biggest letdown? You're getting your wish, though, Tom. Some of the freshmen are beginning to play more and much more important minutes, so that is starting to turn in the direction both of us expected. But what was maybe the biggest disappointment about the game against St. Joe's? The
biggest disappointment is that they just went flat after taking a 17-4 lead. That's when you should feed off of that and really have your most energy. They had their least energy. Mario Chalmers had a real good second half. I would have liked to have seen him play even more in the second half, but he was as responsible as anyone for the letdown at the end of the first half, the couple of minutes at the end of the first half where the lead went from like 11-3. That was Chalmers wasn't good there. And their energy, Bill Self talked about it today at the press conference, they don't have that energy that you want to see in young teams, and they need to figure out a way to instill that energy.
Yeah, he said he connected that energy to confidence, and that once this team maybe won a game, you would see that return, but it's the chicken and the egg. Which one comes first, the confidence or the energy? You need the energy to get the confidence, but
right.
Is the confidence going to come to bring that energy back? And I kind of get the feeling, maybe you guys don't, maybe you do, that one win is all it's going to really kind of take, but they got to win a tough game and a close game. And, you know, we've seen these three game-ending possessions now, and the shots in all three of them have just been pathetic.
Well, the down shot wasn't pathetic. He was hotly contested, well, closely guarded.
Not
it
pathetic
was a tough
from the
shot.
Standpoint of him shooting
right.
It. From the standpoint that was
they
the best option
better.
That they
yeah.
had with 15 seconds was a 6'10 guy guarding Micah Downs in the corner. That's the best thing they could get off. And, you know, a lot of people out there thinking, why can't you drop a better play than that in that situation? And, they didn't look like they were running much of a play. It looked like the play was get it to Mike and let's hope he's open when he's down there.
Well, Russell Robinson was open and should have shot. But
yeah. And he admitted that.
Yeah,
he hit a big shot earlier, the two possessions before, I believe. Or the possession before.
He did. Yeah. He did hit a big shot earlier. He was playing in front of the home crowd and everything. Still not real high on what Russell Robinson is bringing to this team. And I think in terms of energy, you've got to say Julian Wright has done the best job of anybody
awesome.
At giving him energy.
Played
really.
His best game, didn't he? Against
he did. Joe. I mean, you still want to just grab him when he does some things that are so basic that kids at this level just don't do. Like when he gets the ball on a steal or a rebound, he just starts dribbling like a madman instead of giving it to Chalmers or Hawkins. You know, I mean, those kind of things drive you nuts. But his energy is definitely the best of anybody's on the team.
I think he played his best game as a Jayhawk and had some great plays against St. Joe. In addition, Micah Downs now getting the minutes, and he's knocking down shots. I think his only miss of the game was the double team at the buzzer. I think he was 2 for 3 in that contest.
That's true.
Correct?
But, you know, Kevin, I disagree with you when you say he's now getting the minutes.
Is he still not getting enough?
He played 18 minutes. I want to see him play 30 minutes, and he did have some defensive lapses, no question. So did everyone else who tried to guard that guy. I mean, he was on fire, but I want to see him play 30 minutes.
I want to see less of Christian and Jeff. I know Jeff hit a couple of early threes, but that's one of those cases where I think, He just did a three, which means he's going to be in there longer and something bad is going to happen.
Right.
And if he's in there for defense, I didn't think his defense was particularly good against
St. Joe's. His defense was not good.
I didn't think it was great. He let a couple guys get by him to the hole, which in turn got a couple of those big guys in foul trouble. And then Sasha and CJ were invisible against St. Joe's. He had four rebounds in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
This is a chance that three
didn't
of us,
block a shot.
This is a chance that three of us could have been in that game, and four rebounds in 45 minutes would have caromed off the rim and landed in our laps.
Maybe Andy Sam. I can't get a rebound jump. Against Division
I. You
can
box out, though.
Me?
Sam can jump.
Andy
you can box out. You get a body on him.
Nah.
You were talking about your
are you kidding me?
5'8", 280 frame last time we were here, right?
Now we're exaggerating. That's Kevin Romery. I'm Tom Keegan. He's Andy Samuelson, and we are the Spodcasters.
Sandman can't jump, though.
Well, I hear he's got a good game, but, yeah. You know, I wouldn't pay money to see Sandman. I would pay money to see Micah Downs, Brandon Rush, Julian Wright, Mario Chalmers.
Is it time to start the four freshmen with one of the big fellas?
I think so, and I think the one big fella is Sasha Khan. Yeah, he was invisible, but C.J. Giles doesn't look to me like a super intense guy, a talented guy who's not a basketball player yet. He doesn't have much experience as a basketball player.
Well, you know
player.
What Coach said when the season started? I think maybe Gary Bedore asked the question about who do you think will be the leading scorer on this team? And one of the names that came up was C.J. Giles.
Right.
And Coach's response was, you know, the problem with that is C.J.'s never been the scorer on any team he's been on. He's never done it. He's never been the go-to number one guy. I think that's starting to show. He doesn't look like the guy that is going to run down there in the half court, beg to get the ball, and then he's able to score. Almost all of his buckets in the last couple weeks, at least from my perspective, have been from alley-oop passes and then rebounds that he's laid back in, not set plays at all for him. It seems like he's much better when the plays are designed for somebody else, and he's just kind of allowed to roam.
Definitely, and that's not the definition of a leading scorer, certainly.
No.
I think we now know that Brandon Rush is the guy who will lead this team in scoring. But Brandon was taken out of the game. I mean, he just wasn't.
2 points at that point, 4 for 4. Kind of shocking that he took him out. I mean.
Well, you know, I mean, he was by taken out of the game, I meant taken out of the game by the opposition.
Yeah.
And he's got to do a better job of moving without the ball.
He's got to find different ways to score. In high school, he just needed the basketball. And that's all right. He needed to do to score. Obviously, now guys can guard him, and they know what his favorite ways to go. They know what his favorite plays are. They've studied tape. They know how he's going to score with the basketball. You mentioned he's got to move without the basketball. Figure 2 or 3 times a game, you got to get that guy on the baseline, get a couple alley-oop dunks. Got to find other ways.
You got to find other ways. And, you know, you're right. They look at tapes and they know what to take away. And I think what you're going to find as this season evolves is teams are going to be playing up on Micah Downs, trying to take away the three. They're going
to
find out he can put the ball on the floor and blow by you and pull up and shoot. And he does need to start doing that. You look at Micah Downs, though, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes on the offensive end of the floor. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He doesn't say why. You don't find yourself saying, why did he do that? Or, I mean, with Hawkins, you see him dribbling off his foot. With Mario, you see him dribbling off his foot occasionally. You're not saying, look at what Downs just did, at least not offensively.
And Micah, and I think part of that reason is what you just mentioned. We've really only seen one part of his game. He hasn't put it on the floor much. He hasn't taken many chances. He's done really one of two things when he's caught the basketball. That's one, square up and shoot. You can't turn it over when you're taking shots. And two, catch it, find somebody open, get rid of the basketball.
Right, and when he has put the ball on the floor, he's looked good doing it.
He's looked good, and it's only been one or two times. I think he did it once against Nevada, if I remember correctly. I remember him putting it on the floor, and when he did it at the field house, I remember thinking to myself, I think that's the first time I've seen him at the three-point line, put a pump fake on, put it on the floor 2 or 3 times, get to that 8 to 10 foot range, and then bank it in.
Yeah, it was a nice shot.
You know, that's the move that for 2 years everybody screamed for J.R. Giddens to get. J.R. never had it. He never will because he doesn't have the handles that Micah has. But Micah showed the glimpses, and he needs to take some more chances with that basketball.
And who would have thought that we'd be sitting here saying, wow, well, when does Darnell Jackson come back? Because he will help. He'll help because then Julian Wright can play small forward.
And say goodbye to Christian. Because when that happens, he's not going to play near the minutes simply because you got to have a guy in there that can bang. I mean, you think of the opponents, and Tom, you've mentioned this, the victories are over the tallest guy on the other team, 6'8". They're going to play some big boys here coming up real soon, and somebody Christian size, he's going to have trouble in there, and you're going to need a guy to go in there with 5 fouls and beat the opposition up, and Darnell can do that.
And I think Christian Moody was more valuable on last year's team when you have a whole defense collapsing on a Wayne Simeon.
Life is a whole lot easier when you got a first-team All-American on the other side and nobody paying attention to you, but nobody's concerned about that other side now. I mean, Sasha's the only one that can score on the block. CJ has not shown the ability to do that yet. Maybe Darnell can, but he's certainly not going to command the attention that Wayne did. And he's stretching the imagination.
No, certainly not. And Julian Wright, interesting. How do you use him exactly? I mean, he's not a good shooter, but He does bring you some great energy. He's quick on defense.
He runs the floor.
Runs the floor. Good rebounder. Excellent passer.
He can put it on the floor.
How about that play the other night where he gets the block and he's the first one out of the break? That really just showed, I think, the energy that he's looking for. And notice how he blocks the ball where he keeps it in play. Giles would have probably thrown that ball in the stands.
He blocked it, got it back, and then Micah was the one, I believe, who delivered the thread-the-needle pass on the run where he made the catch and got the dunk.
Awesome.
You see those plays. Coach mentioned consistency. Where is it? When will it come? When does it arrive? That's the question, and they need a victory before that really starts to happen.
And they have a real tough game coming up against Cal. I mean, that's a good team.
It's a very good team, although have you looked at Cal's schedule so far?
Nobody.
It's terrible. Yeah. I mean, who the heck knows about those guys? They may be top 10 material on Saturday. They may be bottom 10 material after KU plays them. They have played zero people. I mean, double directional states in every single week.
That's what Jimmy V always used to say. Give me those multi-directional schools early in the season.
And then Cal is following that recipe to success.
Omar Wilkes, do you expect him to be – he doesn't seem like a real fiery type player, is he? But would you expect him to be fired up to play against his former team?
I think so. I don't think he has any ill will towards the University of Kansas.
No ill will, but probably just wants to prove himself and prove people that you know, he could play all along.
And nobody really knows what happened when Roy left between Coach Self and Omar. I don't know what the conversations were. I don't know if Coach said, hey, Omar, we really want you to stay. We got a place for you and this and that. Or if Coach said, hey, if you're thinking about transferring, feel free. We'll do whatever we can to get you released and get you in a place that you want if you don't want to be here. So I'm not exactly sure under what conditions he left, if Coach had suggested maybe he leave for his best entrance, or if, you know, he just went to Coach and said, hey, Coach, I think I'd like to do this. But great kid when he was here. When I heard he was transferring, I was a little upset because I really liked the guy. He was always a great quote, always willing to talk to us. So just from that standpoint, I don't see the kind of guy that's walking into Kemper on Saturday thinking he wants to – or, you know, saying he wants to kill the Kansas Jayhawks, because I don't think that's the case. But certainly think he'd probably like to have a decent game to say, hey, you know, I could have been starting for that Jayhawk team this year.
And what have you been?
And the Jayhawks –
he might have been.
Well, it depends. You know, life would have been a whole lot different because his recruiting class, the starting lineup right now should be David Padgett, J.R. Ginns, and Omar Wilkes. That should be three of your five starters, and then you don't have this youth problem. That's the team – that was being built with Roy Williams. At least that was the vision, to have those three guys as starters. And then another big class like this one, not necessarily that any of the four freshmen that are here would have been here under Roy, but he would have gotten a couple freshmen, and then those guys would have gotten plugged in with those three upperclassmen.
Interesting. You know, you mentioned Padgett. If he had decided a week or two earlier to transfer, they might have gotten Batista, who's having a heck of a season for Gonzaga. How much could this team use Batista?
He's averaging 20 points a game behind a guy that's averaging 35 a game, or whatever Adam Morrison is up there. And that, he's the kind of guy that's that hard-working, bang him around, beat
Self
him up
would
inside.
Love him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. He's a different kind of player, a different kind of mentality. He's tough.
He is tough. You know, the sophomore class, really, when you look at it, Sasha, for a big man in college, that's a good get. It's not a great get, but it's a good get. Giles, it's a good get, but it's almost like he'll always be a guy you're going to say, geez, his potential is amazing.
He's got the tools.
Yeah.
How many times can you say that?
You know, when's he going to turn into a player, and will he leave for the NBA before that even happens?
Probably.
I mean, you know, so him, not a great get. Russell Robinson, don't see it as a good get. To me, he's more of a reserve type of a guy. So you look at that sophomore class. Was it a great class? Not a great class. Junior class is all gone. The freshman, good class, but as opposed to like North Carolina's freshman class, they don't have a senior like Noel who can really bring out the best in them. And you know, I mean, having a real good senior would do wonders for
these
guys.
You know, they got Noel and then Rayshon Terry. That guy's been playing pretty good.
Terrific.
And a couple guys to kind of steady the boat. And then you think, you know, if Brandon Rush wouldn't have been here if the Jayhawks had landed Tyler Hansborough. Now, if you watch that guy play,
oh, man.
He's better than Sasha. He's better than CJ. He would be the best big man on this Kansas team immediately.
And he'd probably be one and done. Don't you think he'll be one and done?
I think he might be one and done. I've watched him play last night, watched him play a couple times.
I'd take that one, though.
He makes a lot of mistakes, but when he touches the ball, Andy, you probably remember this, he looks a lot like Nick Collison to me.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot like Nick Collison. He's just the guy that he gets down in the block, unlike the guys we've got now. He wants the ball. He knows what to do with it when he gets it in the post.
I think Sasha wants it, but knowing what to do with it, still not quite there.
Well, compared to last year, and you didn't get the opportunity to see him last year. Last
I saw him
year,
on TV. But
last year, Sasha would make the catch and look around. He had no
idea. If he made the catch.
He had no idea what to do with it. He would stand there and hold it. And to be flat out honest with you, I didn't think last year Sosh would ever make much of an impact at the University of Kansas. I am stunned that he has made this much progress this fast. I think he has done fantastic this year. He has gone way past any of my expectations in his sophomore year, for sure. And he went from where I thought, well, you know, Darnell showed me some things last year that I thought would be better just athletically than Sasha. CJ obviously showed me the same thing. I kind of thought maybe Sasha would be that three guy this year just coming in for size. Man, it's no doubt. He's far and away the number one post player now for KU, without a doubt.
So you look at him by the time he's a senior, you're looking at possibly a real good college player. Darnell Jackson will be interesting to see because Self is really quite honest in evaluating his players, and he told us before the year, Sasha's come a long way, you know, and CJ's come a long way. He said that about Darnell, and so far he looks like he's right. Yeah. So hey, maybe you're going to see Darnell Jackson subtly improve this team.
I hope he shocks us all. I hope when we see him we're all shocked.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Last time we didn't know who Kansas would be playing, or what bowl for that matter. It's going to be the Fort Worth Bowl in Houston. What are your guys' initial impressions?
Amon G. Carter Stadium. I'm happy about this. I'm very happy that it's not North Carolina State and Phillip Rivers. That was the biggest nightmare down in Orlando. You were there. I remember I'll never see more touchdowns by one player in my life than that game. And at least an opponent this time KU can match up with on paper. Great offensive team from Houston, a great defensive team from Kansas, and it looks like it should be a fun game down there.
It should be. I saw somewhere someone ranked this as the 28th best bowl out of 28.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? You still can't poo-poo the accomplishment that this team made a bowl game when they had three different starting quarterbacks. We're not talking about injuries. We're talking about decisions of the coach. That's how
– Nobody earned it. Other people – didn't keep it.
Right.
They surrendered it.
And that's obviously the most important position on a football team. That, coupled with the fact that they had a tough Big 12 schedule this year. Those three tough games go off the board for three easier ones, and still they were able to make a bowl game, and I think that's a pretty good accomplishment. Never lost a game in Lawrence.
Well, Coach Mangino made a comment that I didn't even know until the Fort Worth Bowl announcement on Sunday. He said that KU was the only team in the Big 12 that played every other bowl team in the Big 12. There are eight bowl teams, right? KU played the other seven that are
going to
bowls. No other team in the Big 12 did that at all. And I did not know that. And that goes a long way. I mean, we looked at Iowa State's schedule. If KU had Iowa State's schedule this year, would Kansas have played Texas in the Big 12 North title game, even after playing Texas earlier in the season, which Iowa State did not? But think about that for just
a minute. Well, they probably couldn't have done
any
worse than that. No, I mean, they absolutely wouldn't have.
So they were 3-4 against the bowl teams because one of the losses was to a non-bowl team, K-State.
Exactly.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I was very, very surprised that KU was able to do that.
Now, how did these guys get so much better? Also, you got to look at that. Some of the same guys were playing on that horrendous defense that got shredded by Phillip Rivers. I mean, how did they get that much better? That's a testament.
Youth.
To good coaching also, that when you get in this program, you do get better as an individual. And if you can illustrate that, that's a great asset in recruiting because, really, at the end of the day, that's what a player judges a coach on. Is he going to make me better as an individual?
Going to get to the next level. And obviously this year, we'll have to wait till the draft in April, but I'm not going to be surprised if more than one or two Jayhawks get drafted.
Nick Reed and Charlton Keith.
For sure. And then never know, maybe a couple other guys too. Depends on who's going to be around and leaving. I wouldn't foresee any, but, you know, guy like Brandon Perkins, you get to that late round, it's a guy that some teams may look at. And
he has a skill.
You never know. I mean, their speed and linebackers aren't just out there all the time. And he's a guy that's got it. And, you know, I haven't seen any of Mel Kiper's lists or charts or any of that kind of stuff to even decide who might get drafted. But certainly those two guys will get drafted, and several others will at least get free agent contracts when the season is over and get an opportunity to make a team. Because you figure Kevin Kane, Banks Floodman, Brandon Perkins, why wouldn't those guys, Jamal Ashley, just size alone, why wouldn't they be given an opportunity to at least try out for a team?
I would think Ashley's a possibility for a late-round draft choice.
Didn't make a lot of big plays during the season. You look at his numbers, he really didn't make that many tackles, but can't teach size. You can teach players technique and to get them better, but you can't teach 6'7" and fast, that's for sure.
Plus a good combine will go a long way.
Yeah, exactly, and a bad combine will go the wrong way the other way, no matter what you've done in college.
Now, Charles Gordon is back for his senior year. Correct?
Yeah, well, you know what I think hurt him this year?
Playing receiver?
He has no position.
Yeah.
I mean, his numbers don't look very good anywhere because he never really played anywhere full-time, and I don't know.
And he didn't have a great impact here. He really didn't have a lights out type of a year.
And, you know, I think if he had stayed on defense after that Oklahoma game, I think that would have changed, because he had been mediocre for his own standards, I think, until the Oklahoma game. And the Oklahoma game, he dominated. He had two interceptions in that thing. He was fired up. And as you recall, that's the game where the switch took place, and he was on the field for 100 million plays. I don't even remember
it. Right.
And that kind of, I think, derailed his season. I mean, imagine switching who you practice with every day in the middle of the season. I mean, you just go from going from defense to offense, and
He's a defensive player next year.
I don't know. Who are the receivers next year if he doesn't play?
Well, you got Dominic Rue, you've got Murph, you've got Henry.
And that combines for what? How many catches this year?
Dexton Fields, they're a big catch.
Dexton Fields. He's the cousin of Darrell Arthur.
Yeah.
KU's number one recruiting target.
Well, he better be the number one guy talking to him to get him into Bill Self's program next year, because there's one more scholarship, as I recall, to be filled, and they're waiting for Darrell Arthur, I think, correct?
Yes, they are.
Assuming none of the freshmen go pro.
How about
Well, I think Brandon Rush may open up another scholarship there. He may go pro.
I agree. I think he will.
Well, on a national scene, people might want to know the podcaster's pick for Heisman.
Reggie Bush. He's just been too dominant. Brady Quinn's been excellent. Vince Young. Matt Leinart, again, he's probably got better numbers this year than last year. But Reggie Bush has been a once-in-a-generation type guy, the way he's just dominated this year.
I'm gonna go with the Midwest bias, because I've not seen USC play, and because the guys on the East Coast and the West Coast will vote for all those USC guys. So I'm going to give a little love to the guys in the Midwest, because I've only seen Vince Young play two times, really, where I've just really seen it. And, you know, he threw the last second touchdown here and ran for 24 yards on fourth down at 800 to get the first down. And then I seem to recall he dropped about 800 points on KU earlier this season. And I thought that KU defense was pretty good until I saw Vince Young. And he didn't even run in that game. He just threw the football.
He actually made a pretty good point to lobby for his own candidacy when he said, hey, my numbers, I've only played about the first half of every game. But I agree with Keegan. I just think that Bush has done it.
I think Vince
at the right times when they've needed him in big games. Just unbelievable.
I think another Bush will win an election here.
I think it could be tough. I think term limits are up. But I think that Vince will let Reggie have that trophy in exchange for a different one.
And what trophy would that be?
That'd be the national championship trophy.
Aha. I don't think he's going to get that either, though.
It'd be hard.
It'd be difficult to go against USC here, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, what did you think going into the Oklahoma-USC game a year ago?
I thought it'd be a decent game.
So did I. I thought it'd be a good game. I thought USC would win by a touchdown, maybe 10 points, maybe.
I thought KU's defense would hold UT to 35. I was wrong with 10 minutes left in the second quarter.
Yeah. But I do think, if you want to just look at the quarterbacks, that Vince Young's ability translates better to outstanding competition than Jason White's did. You never thought Jason White was going to be a pro quarterback.
True.
And he basically was facing a pro team in USC. No. So Vince Young has a better chance of having a good game than Jason White. But still, I just think USC, although their secondary can be picked apart a little bit, I just think that USC is a better team.
USC's just, they're due for loss. I don't know. They've just won.
But when you're due for a loss, you lose to Notre Dame or you lose to Fresno State.
Well, you can.
It's not a due for a loss in the big game.
Yeah, I don't know, though. You can only escape those things so many times. And then when you start having many close games, there's a reason. And it's because maybe the rest of the teams are catching up with you just a little bit. I'm not saying USC isn't great and that they won't win.
So you're picking Texas.
50 to nothing, but
Texas? What about the
Get
Texas
off
A&M?
The fence and
I'm
pick
a
them.
Homer. I'll take the Longhorns. What's the line anyway? I haven't even seen it.
6.5, is that right?
Give me 6.5.
USC.
Take the Horns?
I still like SC in that. I'll give you that. For a burger.
All right.
A little closer to home, KU women are 6-0 for the first time since 91-92. Romery, I know you've been out there a lot. Just talk about this team and the
I've seen
the
all the games. You know, the seniors have been great. Once Erica Hallman returned to play, I know she didn't have a great game last night against UMKC, but shooting the basketball this year, she's been ridiculous coming in. She had a huge game with 6 3-pointers earlier this season, and she's looked great not having to be the point guard, which is what she has had to do the previous 3 seasons here. Kaylee Brown, for the first time in her career, really looks comfortable shooting the basketball. She would force so many things the last couple years where she was a shooter. So every time she touched it, she wanted to shoot, whether or not she was open or not, and she looked bad at times. She has not done that this year. But I think the number one reason this team is better is because it does have a point guard. And if it wasn't for those Paris twins down at Oklahoma, which are obviously going to be the Big 12 newcomers and freshmen of the year, maybe the Big 12 players of the year, the one Paris twin. I mean, she's unbelievable. But
so that'd be good. Do they come to the Fieldhouse, Oklahoma?
I don't know. I'd have to check the schedule on that.
If they do, it sounds like that'd be a good one to go. If you're going to go to one women's game, you might want to go to the Oklahoma game.
They're unbelievable. But Ivana Chodich, by far.
That's actually in Norman.
It's in Norman. Ivana Chodich, a point guard for KU, as a freshman. She, if it was any ordinary year, she might get the Freshman of the Year honor. She is unbelievable. Right now, Bill Self could use an Ivana Chodich on his team because she rarely turns it over. Her handles are unbelievable. She's great passing with both hands, and she can flat out shoot the rock.
I interviewed her at Late Night in the Fog after their little exhibition. I mean, she's an impressive
kid,
great, too.
She's averaging 8 assists a game going into last night. And last night, just another run-of-the-mill night, 26 minutes, 5-for-7 from the field. Her decision-making is unbelievable, and even Coach Bonnie has mentioned that I didn't expect this from her. I expect her to be good, but 6 games into her career, she's doing this. I can't wait to see her another year or two.
And let's also face it, though, the competition hasn't been that stiff.
Now they
get a first test here at Wisconsin. That'll probably tell a lot about this
team. At least the team we've heard of. But yes. And they haven't played anybody yet, and Coach knows that, and they haven't played a game away from Allen Fieldhouse yet. And they're going to until they play Nebraska in Big 12.
Speaking of schedules, I think the men's schedule, you know, a lot of times you like to face a lot of tough teams and games that you have to play well to win. But for this young a team, it was unfortunate that the schedule worked out this way. I think it would have been nice to have a football-type schedule earlier or somewhere in between at least, you know, where they can feel more confident just playing the young guys and letting them make their mistakes and learn from their mistakes. But you got to do that anyway.
Well, 4 years ago when they were setting up this 2-for-1 with Nevada, I think they had any idea they'd lose 2 of those 3. Who knew that Nevada would have maybe more pro players on it than KU at the time because Kirk Snyder was there, and now you got Nick Fizikas, and who knows? I mean, they got 2 legit pro guys that are on that team, and when they were making that schedule, I'm pretty sure they were thinking that was a 3-0 victory deal. It turned into be the exact
opposite. Yeah, Fizikas drops 35 on K. It would have been a good time to shake his hand and say, good game.
Well, on that
what
note,
are you, what are you mentioning there? That was something, yeah.
That might be a good note to end on right there.
Well, good podcast.
For Kevin Romery and Tom Keegan, I'm Andy Sam.